gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Esmeralda, ¿dónde están los caballos?
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Is that how you speak to your staff?
Shush. Happy Friday, everybody. Hey, we shot the moon this morning. What the... Holy moly. What did the moon ever do to us?
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Mm-hmm. I hate it when there's no kaboom.
Oh, that's right. It once hit your eye like a big pizza pie, Jim. That's what it did to us.
I claim this planet in the name of Mars.
And the other big news, the entire implosion of right-wing world. President Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize this morning. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to stop and wipe my eyes. I can almost do their shows all day.
What, my friends? What is it?
Ooh. Don't do that.
No. Pardon me. I can't. I'm getting a cold, so I can't do my Rush impression this morning. Hey, happy Stephanie Miller Show, everybody. We have a big, big show for you. We have Fridays with Fuglesang, comedian John Fuglesang in Hour 3, and a couple of Congress critters.
Yeah.
Coming up to check in on all the Congress doings. All right, so did I mention the president won the Nobel Prize?
Yes, the Norwegian Nobel Committee decided not to inform Obama before the announcement because they didn't want to wake him. So says committee chairman Thorbjørn Jagland.
Oh, he's good. He's my favorite committee chairman ever. Best.
Yeah, but his press, Obama's press secretary woke him and said, yeah, you won the Nobel Peace Prize
and an Emmy.
Psych.
Oh, no, that was me.
Yeah.
Here's Ashton Kutcher. That's what he said, waking a president up in the middle of the night. This isn't really something you do.
No.
waking up President Bush in the middle of his presidency was apparently something you didn't do either.
Maybe another head explosion or two in the Clinton household this morning.
Yeah. Because neither one of them. Oops.
Oh, is it going to be a festive right-wing world today? President Obama won the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize in a stunning decision designed to encourage his initiatives to reduce nuclear arms, ease tensions with the Muslim world, stress diplomacy and cooperation rather than unilateralism.
What? So...
Or as Tom Brokaw would say.
Unilateralism.
So he won the prize for something he's gonna do instead of something he's done?
Perhaps.
Okay.
It's like
Nobel observers
and Nobel amuse-bouche.
Well, yeah, that kind of puts a hell of a lot of pressure on him, doesn't it? Good God.
I work well under pressure.
I don't want that kind of pressure.
You better solve all the world's problems right quick, you.
Or we're going to take it away.
Nobel observers were shocked by the unexpected choice so early in the Obama presidency. Only a very rarely has a person to the same extent as Obama captured the world's attention and given its people hope for a better future, said the aforementioned Schlieken.
Thorbjørn Jagland.
Exactly.
Pardon you.
You just call him Thor.
Okay, thanks.
Thor to me.
Yeah.
The award appeared to be a slap at the Bush administration.
Yeah, that's going to drive the right nuts.
Oh, Obama's...
I need a peace prize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just missed out by just this much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Nobel Committee praised Obama's creation of a new climate in international politics and said he had returned multilateral diplomacy and institutions like the UN to the center of the world stage. You have to remember that the world has been in a pretty dangerous place, said
Thorbjørn Jagland. Thorbjørn, sorry.
Thorbjørn.
Thorbjørn, not Thorbjørn.
No.
And anybody who can contribute to getting the world out of this situation deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. All right, then. Woo!
That's a lot of pressure.
Is it wrong that I only care about how it's going to make the right's head explode than the fact that I applaud the choice because we are in a really dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And he, look, love him or hate him, he has had an enormous impact already in the world.
And on the moon.
The Taliban.
And on the moon. We shot the moon, for God's sakes. Woohoo! We win! We win! We beat the moon!
I believe this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal sometime in the next century of shooting a hole in the moon for no good reason at all.
JFK got us to the moon, but he didn't think of blowing it up, did he? No.
Is this going to affect the tides?
Well, if the moon explodes, that could be a problem.
Well, so far, the moon hasn't exploded, so...
All right.
Still waiting on that.
Tom in Maine wants to be the first one in the bitch fest. Tom, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, I just think them giving this award, because my understanding is they actually voted on this back in early February, so
yes.
Obama had only been president for a few weeks.
Yes.
And I voted for him, but here's the point. What has he really accomplished?
Well, here's the thing. Here's where there's an... Shouldn't this be an American moment? That our president won the Nobel Peace Prize, just like the Olympics coming to America? You can... Sure, you can have that opinion.
I think he won because he's not George
Jimmy
Bush.
Carter, hang on. Jimmy Carter won the Nobel Prize because of the Camp David.
Because he did something, right.
Right. And I just think that Obama's just getting this free ride. And, you know, my big gripe is the economy right now. I have a lot of friends that are laid off. And the stimulus money was supposed to go to infrastructure projects that I understand that if you build a road or a bridge or a wastewater treatment plant, that 20 years down the line from now, you're still going to have that. Instead, the stimulus money is being like the CETA program of the Carter administration, that it's just basically going to fund a lot of civil service jobs, which that's great. So we're going to take a 30-year mortgage to pay for a job that's going to last for a year or two. That's ridiculous.
So you would like them to take away the Nobel Peace Prize because of that? Or that's just another, on another subject?
I just think he's getting a free ride. I really do. And, you know,
I certainly don't think he's been getting a free ride in the press here in America, if you ask me. You know, look, the guy has just gotten started. I think he's trying to do good things. And, you know, I understand your point. That's why it was a shocking decision. But as an American, I'm proud. I'd rather. What prize did George Bush win, I wonder? All right.
I got me a bicycle and prize.
I do see the point.
Yeah. They're awarding for something they hope he does.
And that's okay, fine. I mean, it's their award to give, but okay.
But you better fix all the problems right away or we're taking it back.
That's a hell of a lot of pressure.
It's a preemptive Nobel. Yeah. By the way, you know what I was mostly stunned by? That I didn't win. Didn't someone nominate me yesterday? Didn't Shano nominate me?
I think he was looking into it.
Because of what's his name, the Nobel nominated some whatever quack that Sean Hannity used to have on during the Terry Schiavo thing, you know,
Dr. Farrier.
Yes, and we found the stunning news that almost anyone can be nominated for a Nobel Prize.
I think maybe in Norway they heard that you've been nominated and said, "Go, just give it
to
Obama."
Oh yeah, just
quick.
Give it to Obama quick.
If one of you slacker listeners would have gotten on that sooner yesterday.
This wouldn't have happened.
Yes. Tim in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that I want everybody to envision Mars Attacks and all the right-wingers' heads exploding today. I think it's the best news I've heard in a long time. It validates everything I believe about Obama. And, you know, I know I'm going to have some arguments with my brother, who is a colonel in the military, but I think this is awesome news. And
I don't know what that guy's last caller's point was. It's like he shouldn't win the Nobel because the stimulus isn't going to infrastructure fast enough.
He was Toms of Maine?
Yes.
Yes, Toms of Maine.
Yes, all right. silly me. A lot of economists seem to think the stimulus is working. I agree we need to get more of it out and all that, but what did that have to do with the Nobel?
That has nothing to do with the Nobel Peace Prize, but...
Hmm. Well, it's, you know, what was I trying to say? It's the private sector isn't producing jobs right now. It's I don't know that whatever stimulus the Obama package can deliver is going to fix that. It's going to take a while for that.
Well, yeah, overnight, exactly. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue.
Hi, happy Friday, you
Thank
all.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. The right wing has always said, America's the greatest country on the face of this earth, the most important country among the world.
Our president won the Nobel Prize. Oh.
That's right. And our president, the world is saying, we see you've changed directions. We see you want to disarm nuclear disarmament, and we're going to celebrate this. So every time the right wing opens their mouth, again, I guess they're just being unpatriotic, aren't they?
I think so. That's the thing. It's like literally the right wing, so they're more comfortable with our president being internationally despised, apparently. Right. They're not used to this. They're like, what? Huh? That's not American for people to like our president.
And if you look at the past 20 years, the recipients, it isn't always about what they've already done. It's also about the promise of what they say and the kind of change in direction that this president, that the you might want to give it to the American voter for being smart enough to choose Barack Obama and tell the world, we are not crazy.
Well, I was sort of kidding when I said they gave it to him because he's not George Bush, but that's kind of true, that they're rewarding us for changing direction.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the thing. This is why I'm always, not that I don't ever criticize the president, but I'm saying give him a friggin' break. He's 8 months in. You know, whether you like him or hate him, he's trying to do big things, and I think that's what the Nobel Prize is recognizing. He's trying to accomplish big things, and, you know, according to the right wing, like the Olympic bid, you shouldn't try for anything unless you know you're going to succeed, you know? How about teaching our kids that? Don't try anything unless you're absolutely certain you're going to succeed.
He's promoting world peace by bringing all the countries of the world together. That's a terrible thing. Oh, my God.
Yes, indeed. All right. Thank you, honey. StephanieMiller.com. Oh, by the way.
Oh, exciting.
There's huge breaking news this morning. Guess what, Jim? I tweet now.
What?
I'm a tweeter. Oh, yes, sir.
It was like pulling teeth.
I already sent a slutty tweet to the House Parks. It's a, it's a brand new world for me.
Are you going to be tweeting while driving?
Probably.
No. I've finally been dragged into... Which century are we in?
21st. You've been dragged into 2007
the ones
now.
Without the 8-tracks, right? Whatever century that is now.
Mm-hmm. You've been dragged into 2007. Congratulations.
Thank you. StephanieMiller.com. You can you can email us all there if you're...
Yeah, that's...
All clear like so 5 minutes ago.
That is still like 1998.
Like whatever. Or live blog. You like can, the horse-drawn section
like
of StephanieMiller.com.
That is so 2005.
Oh, my God.
But you have unlimited characters on email.
Yes.
You could keep
But who has time to read unlimited characters? I only have time to read 140 characters.
We had a meeting yesterday with a fancy online director.
Yes.
And I think I brought up, what's the thing? MySpace. And I got the dirtiest look ever.
It's like...
Nobody's on my... What?
I have a
you
MySpace
moron.
Page.
You're the one.
Yes, I'm the one who still has one. Jim-Ward.com. Go see my little skit there and that thing that won me the Emmy and a bunch of other stuff.
All right. So anyway, I will be tweeting at the StephanieMiller.com. So there, during the show.
Well, no. Well, you'll be tweeting at Twitter.com/SMShow.
You know what I meant.
SM Show is your Twitter handle.
It's my handle, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, a little listener comedy, by the way, the old-fashioned way. Dean emailed me at the StephanieMiller.com. Dean in Hercules, California.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules.
Exactly. They have the same trouble, he and his wife, with names that we do here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Steph, my company is switching over. Could I have some comedy, listener comedy music, please? Thank you. My company is switching our 401k from one investment company to another, which, of course, means we have paperwork to complete. Imagine the following scene, which my wife and I have been sad enough to rehearse. Me. Please remind me, I still need to fill out those forms for John Hanford. Wife. Cock. Excuse me? Wife. Cock. John Hancock. The company is called John Hancock. Me. Oh, I keep getting that wrong, don't I? And scene. Thank you.
Yay!
See, he has the same problem I do with the right-wing radio host, Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Exactly. Roger Hedgehog.
Say it. Say it. Cock. Say
excuse
it.
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Yes.
You say it.
Pardon me. Here's what's great about our listeners being just as immature as we are. Jeff in Michigan. Steph, please play more Terry Jeffrey, perhaps dueling Terry Jeffrey and the Dino from the Flintstones.
Oh,
okay. Here is a teeny tiny voice Republican pundit Terry Jeffrey, who has a great big vision for America. Okay, thank you.
Wow.
Our pleasure, Jeff.
I still think he sounds like a clown car trying to start in the snow.
I believe we'll try that. We'll do that several more times today.
Yes, we will. That's for damn sure.
But this we're only going to do one more time. Chris and Yankton, I enjoyed the impromptu Ross Perot versus Orly Tate skit by the Stephanie Miller Players. Well done. It was like a wonderful combination of Second City and the Royal Shakespeare Company. Nah, I have a chart. Can I finish? Can I finish?
You will be done.
Can
you
I finish?
Your charts. I will take the skit.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
From the communist Nazi.
Nah, can I finish?
No. Can I finish? I'll give you a root canal right now without anesthesia.
Anesthesia.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, as I mentioned, the president won a Nobel Prize this morning for blowing up the moon.
What?
Or maybe no. It was something else. That's
a collision of stories.
Yeah, our two breaking stories this morning just collided.
All right.
You got moon in my Nobel Peace Prize.
More reaction on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My friends, I've never in the history of the Nobel Prize.
Oh my God, Dick Morris? May explode and fall on top of Russia.
Nobel Prize. As we bomb Norway immediately. I can't believe that.
My friends, they're rewarding French gay appeasement and socialism.
All right. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 26 minutes after the hour, the president has won the Nobel Prize this morning. Oh, Kevin. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Leo in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Leo. Did I do that correctly? Perhaps
not.
Oh, I did not. Let's try Keith in Palm Springs. I'm using the phone system wrong. Okay, I got it. Leo, there you are.
There you go.
Hi, Leo. Leo.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, just want to remind everyone that President Obama, when he was a senator, actually did a nuclear proliferation act with Senator Hagel and
Richard Lugar. I believe I think you're talking about Senator Richard Lugar. He did securing loose nukes, right?
Yeah, and I mean that had a lot to do with his Nobel Peace Prize, I believe, and everyone's taking that for granted. I mean that was a big piece of work.
Well, it was important work, whereas George Bush attacked the wrong country that had nothing to do with 9-11, keeping nuclear weapons out of the hands of terrorists like Al-Qaeda seems kind of important, don't you think?
Yeah, just a little.
Keith in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Keith.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to help Fox News and Sean Hannity remember that Nobel Peace Prizes in peace is simply French and gay.
Yeah, well, the word peace right in there.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Norway is especially French.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, thank you. All right. Peace. It's like they might as well call it the Nobel Pansy Prize.
Oslo is the capital of France, my friends.
I'm actually going to enjoy Right Wing World today.
Yeah.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour, Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut, will get her reaction on the Nobel Prize and the state of health care and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
May be a self-righteous blowhard, but he holds a lot of sway in this town.
Yeah. 33 minutes after the
Not enough sway to get a Nobel Peace Prize, though.
Damn it. Just lost out to the president by this much. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Dow down 20 points.
If only you'd blown up the moon, then.
Wish I thought of that. Oh, well. All right. Let's answer the Newsmaker hotline and talk to Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat of the great state of Connecticut. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I am fine. It's a fine day to meet American, what with our president winning the Nobel Peace Prize this morning.
Amen. Amen. What an honor.
I'm going to guess that our Republican friends will be just as gracious about that today.
I hope so. I think any, you know, any, it doesn't make any difference. The president's Republican or Democrat, the honor of receiving a Nobel Peace Prize is has to be reflects on the office of our president and reflects how well does that reflect on the country as a whole. And
well,
I think that's what's important.
Indeed, any American that would win it, you'd think that would.
Exactly.
Well, you know, like right. let's make up some wild thing like getting the Olympics. That would be a proud bipartisan moment, wouldn't it?
One would think so.
I bet.
Peace is French and gay.
I'm telling you, Congresswoman, these days must be tough to get your work done because it doesn't matter what the president does. They're against it on the Republican side, aren't they?
Well, that's been pretty much the case. I'm hoping that, especially with regard to health care and where we need to go in terms of our continued economic recovery, that people can come together and say yes for once and not just continue to say no.
Well, absolutely. Obviously, this speaking of healthcare, this Congressional Budget Office report, good news. Things are obviously moving ahead. The Senate Finance Committee going to vote on Tuesday, correct?
Yes.
And meanwhile, what's happening in the House?
Well, I mean, I think there really is a momentum in both the House and the Senate. And as you know, in the Senate, now the task there is to merge the bill that came out of the Health and Education Committee along with the Finance Committee. What we're doing right now, and quite frankly, in the House, we are really moving forward. As I say, there's real momentum to take the three bills that came out of our committees and turn it into a single health bill. That process is ongoing. It's intense. It's underway. The Speaker of the House I think she's probably met individually with each of the members of the Democratic caucus to talk about how we move forward. So I believe we will see a bill that will move to go to get the Congressional Budget Office scoring in a matter of days, and then we will proceed to try to be by the end of this month be on the floor of the House of Representatives with the bill.
Okay. So this is all good news. More good news out of the House yesterday. The federal hate crime bill passed.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Long, long overdue. And I think there again, it reflects, as health care does reflect the values of this country, so too is deal with the health crimes legislation. I might say on health care, this is not just about process and getting a bill done. This is critical in order for us to be able to make sure that the reform is about health insurance being affordable for people in this country, that they get quality care. And in my view, I think what we need to do is to shift that burden, to shift the power that insurance companies have had in the past and move that power to the people of this country who so desperately need a good health care coverage. And so many have lost it maybe because of a job. Many have lost it because they can't afford it. And there's so many who do not have it at all.
Right, right. Congresswoman, one of the questions that keeps coming up, I know with my callers, and I know that there is confusion because right now there obviously are so many bills. I mean, there's, three in the House and two in the Senate, and we don't know what the final bill is. But I think people are having a hard time understanding the public option because I know that, many of us feel it's critical to have it. But the question I get the most is who would be eligible for it? Who could choose the public option, ideally?
Well, first of all, the point is this is not, I think it needs to get described as to what it is. Today, as I pointed out in my comments, there is very little competition in the insurance coverage system. That insurance companies have the monopoly, if you will,
right,
on what they are providing, at what cost, etc. And so again, I mean, look, in the Northeast, you may have places that have lots of options. You go to some places around the country, especially in rural towns, people may have only one.
There's one choice, right?
Just one choice,
right?
So, The notion of a plan that would provide competition in the system, thereby helping to lower the costs, is the genesis of
Right, but Congresswoman, the question I'm getting is who, you know, and again, maybe you could just tell, you can speak for the House bills. Like, who can, if you already have insurance, can you choose it?
No, if you have insurance, you are welcome to, and you like it, so be it. Mm-hmm. You know, keep what you have. For people who are uninsured, individuals who can't get insurance, et cetera, who haven't been able to do that, and small businesses, right at this juncture, at the outset, businesses later would be able to opt in to a to the to a public
option, okay,
in exchange. But the arena for this is this, you know, the exchange. Well, there will be private plans and a public option. And just like, to be very honest, members of Congress, with the federal employees health benefit system, I have a range. It's in essence an exchange. I can go and look at what plan meets my needs, my family needs. This will be, you can look at what the various plans are, private, public, and make a determination as to what meets your needs. So at the outset, we're talking about people who can't get insurance for one reason or another, people who are uninsured, and small businesses, and that's just a certain number of of employees can opt in this direction. Now, and I will go back to what you started talking about, the Finance Committee and Congressional Budget Office. They did say how much this would save this system. $110 billion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the United States already spends more on medical care than any other nation, but we are the only developed country without universal coverage. So, I really, truly hope that we get something done. I mean, it seems in terms of pre-existing conditions and being able to drop people when they're sick, there are just so many things we need to fix. With the health care, we got to get started.
Well, that's right. And look, I mean, the fact is, I have a pre-existing condition. I'm an ovarian cancer survivor. You know, 23 years ago, diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Today, I'm cancer-free.
Wow.
But you know, who wants to insure me? If I were in a small business or you're in a larger business, your premiums go up. And quite frankly, I think we need to get the word out. What we do in this and all of the bills. Right now, and I'm confident. I know that when we get to just the one, that it says you can no longer discriminate on the basis of pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
And for women, quite frankly, that has included C-section. It's included domestic violence, assaults.
Oh, I know. So, I know.
It's really kind of outrageous. It also says that immediately, if you have insurance and you're sick, which happens today, is an insurance company can say, hey, look, I don't want to insure you anymore. You're too sick.
Exactly.
It is a
moral and every other kind of issue. And thank you so much for working on it. And thanks for taking time for us. Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut, thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. Thanks.
You too. All right. There she goes. I did not know she was an ovarian cancer survivor.
I didn't know that either. So, right. she's the definition of a pre-existing condition.
She is a walking pre-existing condition.
Yes.
So she knows of what she speaks.
Absolutely.
All right. Right-wing world has already exploded over the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize this morning. We'll tell you what's up with that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 47 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Charlie in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Charlie.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Welcome to Twitter.
Thank you. Oh, I'm very excited.
Yes. SM Show, at SM Show.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the Associated Press has a little article online this morning, and this comes directly from the man who is the secretary of the committee that awards the Nobel Peace Prize, and it's a list of myths and realities. And one of them, I think the most important one, is that the myth is that the prize is awarded to recognize efforts for peace, human rights, and democracy only after they have proven successful. The reality is, more often, the prize is awarded to encourage those who receive it to see the effort through, sometimes at critical moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go.
Absolutely. So there, and furthermore... By the way, I've got a bunch of tweets already this morning.
Yes, you do.
I'm very excited. People are tweeting me back.
See what happens when you join the 21st century?
What's up with your Chicago appearance? Shana and I want to take you out for drinks.
Computer says yes.
Yes, any of those tweets, the answer is automatically yes.
Computer says
yes. Is there some way I can set an automatic yes to drinks on here? Ken wants to know. Yes, Ken.
That's listener Ken in Cleveland, by the way.
Schaefer on the Schaefer writes, welcome to Twitter. Steph, remember, friends don't let friends drunk tweet. Oop, too late.
Yeah, you did a little of that last night.
For that, sorry.
Do you remember that?
Hal Sparks is a liar. let's see, blah, 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 blah. All right, I'll, see, now I'm distracted. Now I can't do the radio show. I've got to tweet.
That's why I don't tweet. One of the many reasons why I don't tweet.
People would love you if you tweeted,
all right,
Jim.
Back to... In fact, they would love you more, Jim.
Yeah.
All right. Back to we're going to go back to more reaction on the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize this morning and the right wing's head exploding en masse.
I have one quick question about that.
Yes.
Chris? Isn't he about ready to send more troops into Afghanistan?
Oh, that.
We don't know. Maybe this is maybe this is like
maybe
some
they're trying
sort of,
to influence
exactly.
It.
Yes. Maybe this is.
Of course,
a little...
we can always take it back if you send more troops over there. You know. Hey,
yeah,
there.
You remember after Freddie, my new rescue puppy, ate my chair in my living room.
Yeah.
Now I give him a preemptive. I'm like, I give him a preemptive like rawhide in the morning before I leave.
Uh huh.
So here's the, if you don't eat the other chair. Seriously, the chair's in the back of my car right now. I have to go find the place where I got it to see if I can get it repaired.
The place with the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, in fact, I'm going to see if I'm going to tweet a picture of my chair as soon as I can figure out how to work my phone, my camera phone. Oh,
is there dog insurance for furniture, I wonder?
I don't know. Anyway, but that's what I'm saying. I'm giving him a go. Oh, look, here's if you don't eat that chair. So maybe you're right. That's the Nobel Prize for not sending more troops into Afghanistan. Just saying.
We'll see.
All right. It's a presidential rawhide.
All right.
Okay, let's check some quick entertainment news, shall we, kids?
Huh?
Are you all right?
Yeah. Thought we were doing something
I'm
else.
I'm the one that's distracted and
I know.
Tweeting. Not doing anything over there. Okay, this is kind of funny. Nick Nolte's son has been arrested for drunk driving. So now the family photo gallery will include those horrible DUI photos.
Family portrait.
That's not funny, though. I mean, that's dangerous on the streets, for crying out loud.
It's almost as dangerous as tweeting while you're driving.
Yes.
That's kind of funny, walking up the Nolte staircase. Just all those horrible, disheveled...
This is great-grandfather crashing a
This is Grandpa Nolte's,
you know,
crashing
DUI
a buggy.
Yeah.
Grandpa Nolte.
Guess what his name is? Brawley. Brawley Nolte.
So he'll be a brawler someday.
Exactly.
Coming, I guess.
Santa Monica police say actor Nick Nolte's son has been arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence. 23-year-old Brawley Nolte, driving north on PCH. Oh,
isn't that where everybody gets a DUI?
It's like the highway to hell, PCH.
Yes.
Pacific Coast Highway, when he made a lane change and struck a vehicle in front of him. We have Nick Nolte on this, I believe.
I'm so proud of my son. Ship off the old block. The apple don't fall far from the tree. Just before it makes an abrupt lane change without signaling and crashes into the car in front of it. Of course, it helps if that particular apple is pickled in 100-proof Stoli with a cocaine crystal meth horse tranquilizer chaser. Gotta do something about that mugshot, though. Hair doesn't look nearly crazy enough, and about a gallon of Depp ought to do it. Maybe with some Aquanet. There. Cross between Phyllis Diller and a racer head. That's my boy.
I just love the idea of a whole like family portrait.
Yeah.
But all their hair looks like that.
Yeah.
They hired someone to come in and up all their hair.
Yeah. All their hair is a combination of Phyllis Diller and eraser head. Yes.
Yeah. They all look like Don King. Wait a minute. Wait for it. Okay. We're losing daylight, people. Here we go. All right. Dr. Phil is being sued for allegedly brainwashing a woman, then touching her left boob. According to People
again.
Magazine. Oh, Dr. Phil.
I guess that means he's right-handed.
Shirley Ray Dew, of 56 of Irvine, California, claimed she was seeking therapy from Dr. Phil in his Hollywood office in 2007, in which she was allegedly held captive and forced to be in the same room with a completely live naked man while he exposed his entire naked body, genitals, and all.
He's not a psychiatrist. Why would he have office hours?
Well, here's the most shocking thing about that, is that apparently you can actually see his genitals when he's naked. He's a little overweight.
Oh.
You can see his entire naked body, genitals and all. She further alleges she was deprived of sleep and food, brainwashed, subjected to edited tapings depicting her as a different personality other than her own. On October 9, 2007, she claims Dr. Phil touched her left breastuses during a therapy session. It should probably be noted here, Shirley has a history of suing hospitals and car dealerships.
Oh.
Plus, she's acting as her own attorney.
Oh.
Let me finish!
It's like Orly Tate's.
We have Dr. Phil on this, I believe.
And I thought David Letterman was having problems. Apparently this whack job, Shirley Ray Dew, claims she was seeking therapy from me. Now, there's a big problem right there, because by now, everybody must know that I have a degree in bullology, and anything I do that vaguely resembles therapy or psychological counseling is for entertainment and personal enrichment purposes only. She claims to have been forced to be in the same room with a completely live naked man. Now, I don't know what she's used to, but if her thing is being with a dead naked man, well, God bless her, but I don't think anybody could help her now. As for brainwashing, that implies that there was a brain there ready to be laundered. I mean, you got to give me something to work with here. I mean, you have a history of suing hospitals and acting as your own attorney. Maybe you should take a lesson from Orly Tate's and have a big frothing mug of STFU. You're just making yourself look ridiculous. Car dealerships? Oh, yeah, sue the hell out of those bastards. They're all criminals. And touching her left breast? You betcha. I mean, come on, I'm right-handed. Case closed. Oh, Dennis Brumman, I'm a big TV star. How come the Appalachian Trail just comes with the territory? I strongly suggest picking up my new book, How to Survive Being Brained by an Iron Skillet, and the How to Survive Being Brained by an Iron Skillet workbook, available on Amazon.com for just $19.99. I also suggest you call me an ambulance, toot sweet. Oh, boy.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here always to tell your friends. Chris in Chicago enjoying the implosion of right-wing world on the news.
Hi,
President Obama's Nobel Peace Prize. Hello,
yes.
Chris.
Good morning. I woke up this morning and Ed Rollins was on CNN being interviewed about Obama, and he said, you know, they were going through a couple of people who've gotten in. They've, of course, mentioned Carter, and Rollins goes, failed presidency, and he got the Nobel Peace Prize. And whoever the guy is on CNN in the morning goes, well, but he did broker the Mideast Agreement, and he's like, well, he says, no, Republicans get it. How come Reagan didn't get it? I mean, this is all he was saying, and he says, Republicans never get it. And I was like, get a clue. Hello. Maybe. And he goes, except for Teddy Roosevelt, who everyone loved. So, but that was it. That's all that was about as gracious as he got.
Oh, God, how come Reagan didn't get it?
Ronald Reagan presided over the biggest arms buildup.
Yeah, there's that.
Since World War II.
There's the whole opposite of peace thing. You know, speculation.
Grenada for no apparent reason.
Speculation had focused, Jim, on a wide variety of candidates besides Obama until seconds before the announcement.
Were you included?
Well, the Zimbabwe Prime Minister, you know, Morgan
He's good. Mm-hmm. Are you sure there's not a glottal stop in
Colombian
there?
Colombian senator, a Chinese dissident.
Whatever.
A bunch of other no names. All right. The head of the Nobel Prize, what's his name?
Torsten Jørgen Flørten.
Yes.
I don't have it in front of me.
Went with Obama in the end.
Torbjørn Flørten Snodden.
Exactly. Mike in Hollywood, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, babe.
First I want to congratulate you, Stephanie, on finally ending your dry spell, and I'm so happy you ended it with Larry King.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, apparently CNN ban on radio hosts is over.
But securing loose nukes, as Obama did, it was made twice as difficult when the DIC outed a CIA operative who was working on nuclear nonproliferation, specifically with Iran.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, I think that's the problem. People don't they just gloss over things like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't do anything as senator. Oh, well, except for the securing the loose nukes, so that, you know, Al-Qaeda doesn't, close up. Except for that. Okay, 57 minutes after the hour, Representative Chris Van Hollen and much more Nobel Prize reaction as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Twittering. I'm just beside myself. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere if you want to do the old fashioned, you know, phone thing with your rotary phone.
Wow, that's 1920s? 10s
Julie,
technology?
You can email us at stephaniemiller.com as well. Julie in Seattle has emailed about Mama being on Twitter.
Yeah, she said, sorry, Mama, but you can't Twitter your way into Gen Y.
It's the Molly Shannon character that's trying to be the hip mom.
Oh,
yes. By the way, Hal Sparks has Twittered me. I'm now following you at SM Show. It's fun, although I wish Twitter had bushes to hide in. All right. He's stalking me.
He wants to hide in your bushes.
Apparently.
The mind reels.
You know what? Because I'm a strong woman. I'm no Miley Cyrus. Did you hear what she did?
What?
She deleted her Twitter page for a man.
Some Australian bloke.
Yeah, she's dating some Australian guy, and she wrote a Liam. She wrote, FYI, Liam doesn't have Twitter, and he wants me to delete mine, with good reason. And just like that, she's gone. Ah! What kind of new age woman is she? I will never delete my Twitter page for a man.
You and Hal Sparks flirt over Twitter, so...
It's just a way for me to be sluttier.
Yes.
All right, By the by, Fridays with Fugelsang. Next hour, John Fugelsang, who I am cheating on Hal Sparks on right in front of him, will be here next hour. Also, Representative Chris Van Hollen this hour on the Newsmaker Hotline to check in. All right, so lots of big news breaking. We shot the moon, Jim. I don't know.
Did it shoot back?
No.
And what did it do to us?
What's the moon ever done to us? A pair of NASA spacecraft smashed into the moon at twice the speed of a bullet as part of a mission aimed at blasting up signs of water ice. Michael Bickay, director of science at NASA, said there could be explanations for the absence of a water signal, Jim. He said we may have hit a dry hole rather than a wet hole. Don't you hate when that happens? Perhaps I should
have
sent them...
That's why there's Astroglide.
That's why I should send them some of my Astroglide.
The official personal lubricant of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
And NASA.
Ever since I came up with the brilliant idea of making the ships slipperier so the Somali pirates cannot repel up them anymore.
Damn tides. That'll show the moon.
I suggested.
We didn't need those tides anyway.
All right, and in other news that has already made the right wing implode completely, the president won the Nobel Peace Prize. Is it possible Glenn Beck's going to be crazier?
People want to watch people they identify with, and they identify with Beck.
People want to watch people that are completely crazy because it's entertaining. He's not like us. He's completely crazy.
You can't devalue life. You can't.
I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore. I think he could be looking me in the eye, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong?
I just warn you, I'm a deeply religious man.
What would Jesus do?
Shoot him in the head!
Do I really want to vaporize you?
Yes, I do! You evil little bitch!
Stop! We would like some sanity.
I'm sorry. I just love my country, and I fear for it. America must fall to her knees. America must reconnect with the Almighty.
If we fed and freed more people, we will starve and imprison more people.
Beck is successful, fabulously successful, because he's just a guy.
Crazy.
He's not a journalist.
Completely
he's
crazy.
A guy.
He's just a normal guy.
A guy's guy.
If you happen to live next to a complete psychotic... Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland.
Andy Borowitz said, you know what, sealed it for Obama with the Nobel Peace Prize?
What's that?
The beer summit.
could I have my fine American music, please? It seems to me it's a fine morning to be an American, is it not? When the President of the United States of America wins the Nobel Peace Prize.
As long as he doesn't send more troops into Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his extraordinary, quote-unquote, extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples, the Norwegian Nobel Committee said, citing his outreach to the Muslim world and attempts to curb nuclear
proliferation.
Exactly. Thank you.
So building bridges between black professors and cops. With a beer.
Exactly.
Beer. Must have been Norwegian beer.
Beer. Has Shano already assembled a tribute to the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize?
He certainly has.
Oh,
the Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided that the Nobel Peace Prize for 2009 is to be awarded to President Barack Obama.
What did he say?
To President Barack Obama. For his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples.
Your first instinct and your first response, I know mine was this morning, was for what?
He seems to have won one of the most prestigious awards in the world for just rhetoric. I think the best thing you can say about this is it's premature.
Huh.
Thank you, Shano.
Shano has a point there. Awarded
according
the prize for rhetoric.
According to the phone sex transcripts from Bill O'Reilly's lawsuit that he settled, he would know from being premature. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Linda in Asheville, North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Linda.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Couple things. I'm a strong ardent Obama supporter. I work for him more than I ever worked for any other candidate. I stayed on the poll on the phone lines until our polls closed in North Carolina, and I think that the Nobel Peace Prize is premature. Also, I think that if he had actually brokered a peace deal in the Middle East, ended the Iraq War, he's given this prize on the eve of sending 40,000 troops into Afghanistan.
Well, we don't know what he's going to do yet about Afghanistan.
Yeah, but he's going to send probably something in. So to me, it's premature. And actually, I was planning on calling you to express my concern about him for other reasons. I feel like he's not a fighter. And I didn't vote for
What are you basing that on?
I'm basing that on the bank bill, which was the centerpiece of the bank bill was supposed to be people being able to renegotiate their foreclosures. And we didn't get that. He didn't fight for it, draw a line in the sand. Credit card companies, major centerpiece was to enforce some usury laws and to lower the interest rates. Now we just get to see how the credit card companies are jacking us. And I thought, okay, wait a minute. You know, three strikes and you're out. I'll wait and see what he's going to do with the health reform bill.
Well, that's what I'm going to say, Linda. You got to give him more than 8 months. I get your points. That's the thing. It's just everybody. Have you noticed that every morning somebody has some issue with some bill that didn't?
Yeah, but
I'm just saying.
A lot of stuff that he hasn't followed through on.
But we've gotten farther on healthcare than we ever have before, and it's just literally we're 8 months in.
But it's
this is the first time I can't believe how people like Linda, how hard we all worked to get to this moment, and people are already giving up on him 8 months in.
It's just that he seems reticent to go after credit card companies, or the banks.
He doesn't seem tough enough.
He wants to move straight down the middle.
Sorry, yeah. Steph.
No, it's mutiny. True.
Call it like we call it like we see it.
You're mutinous.
He should have fought for a single payer from the beginning. He should have gone after the credit card companies. And
we haven't even gotten there yet on healthcare. Let's see.
I'm not talking about healthcare.
I know what I'm talking about is let's see what we end up with. And I'm just saying, as many senators and whoever has told us, look, if you go back to the history of the Civil Rights Act or Medicare or Social Security, they had to strengthen stuff later. So I'm sick of people that are getting sick of the Obama administration already. For God's sakes. All right, let me give you the fun facts on Afghanistan as we, and again, we don't know yet what exactly he's going to do, but the early word is he's going to accept some Taliban involvement in Afghanistan's political future. He's focusing more on Al-Qaeda and not just the Taliban, which I actually think is smart. He will determine how many more U.S. troops to send in based only on keeping Al-Qaeda at bay, according to senior administration officials. Aides stress the president's decision on specific troop levels and other elements of a revamped approach is still at least 2 weeks away. But the thinking emerging from the strategy session offers a clue that Obama would be unlikely to favor a large military increase of the kind being advocated by General McChrystal. Obama's developing strategy on the Taliban will not tolerate their return to power, but the U.S. would fight only to keep the Taliban from retaking control of Afghanistan's central government, something it's now far from being capable of, and of giving renewed sanctuary to Al-Qaeda. Bowing to the reality that the Taliban is too ingrained in Afghanistan's culture to be entirely defeated, the administration is prepared to accept some Taliban role in parts of Afghanistan. That could mean paving the way for Taliban members to willing to renounce violence to participate in a central government. You know, I was at Senator Boxer, I think I heard the other morning, talking about how 90% something of the Afghani people are not supporters of the Taliban. So I like the fact that he's thinking this through. I mean, look at the fact that George Bush didn't even know the difference between Sunnis and Shiites in Iraq, and that's part of the problem. Apparently, people that were in the room, in the Situation Room, said Obama kept returning to one question for his advisors: who is our adversary? The answer was Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's important. You know, there was obviously a time when we persuaded Sunni Muslim insurgents to cooperate with U.S. forces against Al-Qaeda there. So, I mean, I think the fact that he's thinking through what is a complex issue, and Jim, you pointed out that no one has ever won in Afghanistan in a military sense. So there are now what they're saying is there's no more than 100 Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Instead, the U.S. fight in Afghanistan is against the Taliban, now increasingly defined by the Obama team as distinct from Al-Qaeda. While still dangerous, the Taliban seen as an indigenous movement with almost entirely local and territorial aims and far less of a threat to the U.S. So,
but what do we do about that? That they're...
I grant you that the term moderate Taliban is like jumbo shrimp or something. Yeah.
Who are we fighting for? Mohammed Karzai, who's, you know, mayor of two blocks of Kabul and is
corrupt as hell.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't see it anyway. Unless, you know, we legalize drugs. And the undercut, the Taliban's cash cow.
Let's just legalize drugs in both places, here and there. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mama.
Hi, Dave.
I think the Nobel Committee just gave Obama the Peace Prize as a participation ribbon since he lost the Olympics.
Yeah.
And wasn't that nice of them? Let's go to Al in Chicago on the Nobel Prize. Hello, Al. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Luke. I think that it wasn't noticed much over here, but in his speech in Cairo, when he said the U.S. is not and never will be at war with the Islamic world, it rocked the Arab world, just that one sentence. And
yeah,
I think that's what put him over the top.
Absolutely.
I think part of it was him admitting our responsibility for the situation in Iran because we overthrew the democratically elected Mossadegh government in 1953, and that was huge. And
Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary on Afghanistan.
We've been focused on Al-Qaeda as the primary, again, global threat that emanates from that region based on its past attacks and its intent to continue doing so.
All right. 15 minutes after the hour, back with more reaction on the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, no, you do not tweet. You just punch me in the chest with your... Don't you tell me how many more followers you have than I do, young man. How dare you?
What?
I only started tweeting yesterday. So what? I have how many followers?
413.
So? I just started. Today's my first full day.
I have over 1,500.
Shut up.
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
So is that the point, to collect tweeters like baseball cards?
Yes, absolutely.
Size doesn't matter.
You're a loser.
Jerry in Asheville, North Carolina. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I think you may be wanting to find a new producer. Seems like yours is trying to audition for the Rush Limbaugh show. But what I wanted to say is he... the whole diplomacy, he won for diplomacy. It's not a concrete or abstract thing. It can sometimes be abstract, just your actions and deeds, what you do.
It's obviously for efforts. If there were world peace, then there would be no need for a Nobel Peace Prize anymore.
The thing is, I think he's done plenty to win on diplomacy. He didn't go into Chris's brain and try to find a thought of a pretty girl or something. You know, you'd have to win something for that. But it's just ridiculous that all these people, just like Bill Press this morning. What has he done? What has he done? He's changed the face of America throughout the world.
Yeah.
I think that's very significant.
Yeah, I do too. Well, I mean, I've said it before that, you know, it's look at the way we're trying to think through Afghanistan in terms of Al-Qaeda. And as the president has said, Al-Qaeda is everywhere. And that's why it is important that we have the world's cooperation. That's how, you know, the terrorists we've caught, it's because of cooperation. It's because of intelligence. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
I know it's cold there. Everyone's telling me I'm going to Madison tomorrow for the me and Bill Press thing. Everyone's like, it's cold, cold, cold.
I can't. Yeah, it is. It's kind of just, it's like you know, it's not really cold, but it's kind of like the Seattle rainy, yucky, but who knows.
Okay, it's really cold for us because we live in L.A.
Well,
Chris was in San Francisco recently bitching about how cold it was. He's like, I wore like a flip-flops and a T-shirt. Is that wrong?
No, bring a coat, please.
All
That's
right, go ahead, Steph.
Definitely what you need. Here's my little bit, is that, you know, for whatever Obama hasn't done, at least now, like when I used to travel, you know, go to a different country, I swear to God, I'd pretend I was Canadian because I was so freaking embarrassed.
There you go. There's one good reason for him to win the prize. We don't have to pretend we're Canadian anymore.
Not only that, is he's mending fences of, you know, throughout the Muslim world, and not to think that, you know, so we don't look like we always have the finger on the nuclear button, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it being bullies. But he's got a lot to do, you know. Afghanistan need to get out now. We're never going to win that. It's a big mess.
Well, but Steph, here's the only thing, like I say, and I agree with you to an extent, and I, you know, if you've listened to Robert Greenwald talk, I mean, he makes very good points, but all I'm saying is, you know, I think the fact that he is thinking this through, and the, you know, the fact that Al-Qaeda really is the focus, that should have been the focus from day one.
Oh, and, of course, and so that's another big pile of poo that's left by...
Yeah.
You know, Bush, who had...
I agree, but my point
worries.
Is, I'm as anti-war, you know, as you are, I'm sure, but my point is, I think you can't just pull out entirely and allow Al-Qaeda to regroup in Afghanistan, so you've got to...
could go in there and help, and help build, you know, the things that we've bombed, and I hate the drone things. The drone things need to go away, too. That's just evil. That's crappy.
The Predator drones you're talking about.
Yeah, I hate what the heck? Someone's sitting on a computer.
Yeah, the Predator drone hit the moon by accident this morning, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. By the way, where's my Martian Mars guy? What's his name? Martian Marvin.
We'll play it when we get back.
All right, fine. 28 minutes after the hour. The Dow is up 25 points. Representative Chris Van Hollen on the Newsmaker Hotline next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I've been thinking about you.
Stephanie Miller.
Let me guess. Naked and covered in some kind of cooking oil?
Canola, yes.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. You can tweet me now.
Yes, SM Show at SM Show.
I'm a Twitterer.
Sadomasochistic Show? What?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I was
yes, that's exactly what it is. Although you're probably going to be getting a few people in SM because of the handle.
Hey, SM Show. That's right. What?
It's some liberal radio slag.
Give me some fine American music, please. It is a fine American morning to be an American, in my personal opinion. The President of the United States of America has won the Nobel Peace Prize. If only there were another final. Why, look, it's Representative Chris Van Hollen of the great state of Maryland. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you
this morning. You too, sir. I don't know about you. I'm very proud that our president has won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, I'm very proud of that fact as well. Listen, he made it very clear that this is going to be a new day, that we're going to restore our credibility overseas after having lost our credibility in so many corners of the world over the last 8 years, in fact, all over the planet. And I think he's made it clear that he wants to pursue a world based on cooperation where possible, but he will continue to protect U.S. interests. But the clearly Nobel Peace Prize Committee determined that we have an opportunity now to try and resolve a lot of the conflicts around the world, and that the president is showing leadership. So we're all, I think we're all very proud of his achievement.
Oh, well, when we say we're all, we mean of course not the Republicans, because they've already been going crazy, as they did when the president tried to get the Olympics for America.
Well, you know, there was another example of where they were rooting against the United States when they were, you know, at a moment where we should have all been able to stand together as Americans. And what we're seeing is just a continuation of the fact that these guys have put no solutions of their own on the table, and yet whenever the president puts an idea forward, they shoot it down simply because it's the president's idea. And I think what the Olympics revealed was sort of their pattern, their behavior these days.
Well, you know, Congressman, I think that in this environment, Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, made a good point yesterday. You know, obviously jobs is on everybody's mind and the economy, and he said we are anxious to see the Republicans' plans, you know, for creating jobs and helping the unemployed. The problem is they don't have any.
Well,
they're just against whatever the president tries to do.
That's right, and we need to remind people they had a chance. I mean, American people gave them the chance. They had 8 years when they had the White House. George Bush was in the White House. They had Republicans controlling the House and the Senate for six of those 8 years, and they did nothing on this issue. They did absolutely nothing. And so all of a sudden, they said they were going to have new ideas to put on the table, but we've long passed the deadline that they gave us for when they would have a Republican bill. You know, this is an important point, Stephanie, because they keep saying, well, we've got our ideas, and they wave these little pamphlets around. The reality is that the Republican leadership in the House and the Republican leadership in the Senate have not put forth their alternative piece of legislation. They have not done it. It's not out there. Every mm-hmm. individual can have their own ideas, but they've not come together and said, here's our plan.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is I keep listening on their side for what is your alternative on health care, and I don't hear anything but the status quo. But, I mean, the good news is we're moving forward, right? The Senate committee votes on Tuesday. You all are moving forward in the House, correct?
We are indeed, and, you know, the Republicans' plans, and this is why I'm convinced they haven't put it forward, because if they ever did, we would see that it was a plan for the insurance companies, not for the American people. We are moving forward. The Senate, as you said, the Senate Finance Committee was expected to vote on Tuesday. The House is moving rapidly to try and resolve some of the remaining issues. You know, our members went back home. They listened to their constituents, and we're making some changes to the bill. And we expect to be able to submit it to the Congressional Budget Office shortly so that we can also get the budget score, as the Senate Finance Committee got a budget score the other day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I misspoke, Congressman. The Republicans do have one plan. I don't know if you saw this. Pete Sessions, the folks from the National Republican Congressional Committee, they have a new Fire Nancy Pelosi petition.
Yeah, well,
on there.
You know,
the folks who said that they hope General McChrystal puts her in her place.
Yeah, I think the speaker's response to that was just perfect. She's in her place. A woman's place is in the House of Representatives. And she happens to be the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and she was elected by her peers, and she's done a great job in working with the new president on his agenda. So you're right. I mean, that's all they can come up with.
I know. I love what she said. She said, I'm in my place because the House of Representatives voted me here, but that language is something I haven't heard in decades.
It's true. It's a throwback, just like the ideas they have for, you know, various proposals. I mean, whenever they do have some proposal, it seems to have been cooked about a decade ago, and usually something they tried, and unfortunately it failed, and they haven't moved on.
I mean, sometimes you just shake your head. What have you heard about this guy from the National Review along the lines of this Speaker Pelosi thing? He reaffirmed his view that women should have the right to vote, but it's bad for society, the fact that they can vote. You really shake your head and go, seriously? He said that?
Well, you got to wonder about some of these guys. I mean, after all, there's the Republican candidate running in Virginia who wrote in his thesis something about, you know, women's not being, you know, women in the workplace, and that wasn't something he supported. I don't know all the details, so but the fact of the matter is it's created quite a stir.
Yeah, John Derbyshire, he's a writer for the National Review. That's who I'm thinking of. He explained that because, you know, women, we tend to be hysterical and do things like vote for Democrats. He said they can exercise the right, but it's bad for conservatism and therefore bad for society.
You didn't know that was a character flaw, Stephanie, voting for Democrats.
I didn't. No one has performed an intervention on me. That's the problem. That's the problem. Well, Congressman, what, you know, like I say, it seems like jobs are, you know, topic A these days. I mean, I have a good friend that just lost her job this week, and I think we all know somebody. So, you know, what do you think in terms of what's going to help going forward?
Well, let's not forget just how bad the situation was in January. We were losing jobs at the rate of approximately 700,000 a month. The economy was falling through the floor. And things have improved significantly in most areas. Now, none of us are satisfied with the continued jobless rate. And while the overall trend has improved significantly since January, it is still obviously an unacceptable place, which is why we have moved to extend unemployment compensation for people who are out there thrown out of a job through no fault of their own and are looking every day to find one and can't. We need to make sure that they continue to be able to pay the rent and put food on the table for their families. We're going to extend the COBRA benefits. And then depending on how things continue to unfold, we are looking at a number of other options to try and provide additional boost to the economy. And there are a variety of ideas on the table, but we are very focused on this issue. And once again, the Republicans who voted unanimously against the House Economic Recovery Bill haven't come forward with any solutions here, and yet they try and talk the economy down. And so we are going to be putting together a variety of ideas to make sure that people who've been hardest hit are able to pay the rent as we try and make sure that the job situation turns around. And look, there are a number of ideas on the table, but I don't think we should lose sight of the fact that things have improved. I mean, this is like trying to walk up an escalator that was going down really fast.
Yeah.
If we'd done nothing, we would be a lot farther down.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, you, Van Hollen, you have a fancy job whose title escapes me, but it has to do with getting Democrats elected, correct?
Yeah, it's true indeed.
Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
Exactly my point. I mean, here's what I saw a headline today that made me think, there's a state of politics today. Representative Joe Wilson, whose sole accomplishment appears to be yelling "you lie" at the President of the United States, his fundraising is up to $2.7 million, followed just based on him shouting in an unbelievably disrespectful way at the President of the United States. I mean, doesn't it seem like, wow, that's all they got? That guy's a hero now to some conservative base.
It is an unfortunate fact of American politics that somebody can, you know, become notorious overnight that way and then somehow get a whole lot of folks sending them checks and throwing money at them for that reason. Look, on the larger question, Stephanie, I've said from the beginning this is going to be a challenging election cycle because it historically always has been. Whenever you have a new president coming in, the first midterm is a challenge. And that's been the case throughout history, and we knew that from day one, and we've therefore been preparing for it. So our candidates have taken nothing for granted. And what happened in August was very interesting because when you had these town hall meetings and you had all these really loud, disruptive voices at these town hall meetings that did not reflect the majority of the American people's views on health care, the fact of the matter is the Obama supporters began to respond. And at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in August and September, we had a record, an all-time record in terms of our grassroots fundraising.
Yep. Absolutely. And the polls obviously showing that now that the, you know, heat and noise has died down, people are getting behind the president's plan.
Well, people saw they had a fight on their hands. You know, I think people, you know, we were all, you know, in January, we were pleased we had a new president. And I think people said, okay, we know where the majority of the country is. And yet in August, you had the, you know, the teabag parties and all this kind of stuff. The good news is it woke a lot of our guys up around the country. It said,
absolutely,
you know what, we got to fight, you know, electing the president and majorities in Congress is not enough. We got to fight for health care. We got to fight for these issues.
Yep.
And it was a great wake-up call to everybody that it's time to get re-energized.
Absolutely. Congressman Chris Van Hollen, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you.
All right, there he goes, Congressman Chris Van Hollen. Lots of big news this morning. We shot the moon.
Where's the kaboom?
I don't know.
There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Hmm.
I claim this planetoid in the name of Mars.
The president won the Nobel Peace Prize this morning, in case you've just tuned in. Jim, I think it's a very proud moment, frankly, to be an American. Just think of it. We could have one president that's won the Nobel Peace Prize and one president at The Hague. And that could be really...
Yeah.
Hmm. 40, oh, if only. 45, girl can dream. 45 minutes after the hour, Jeb Bush says Democrats need to put on their big boy pants.
Huh? What does he mean by
Insert
that?
Insert your own fat joke here. About
All right.
Jeb. All right. Stand-up news is next with that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
An emergency room in here. I'm hacking, coughing, I'm laying on the floor. What are you two doing? Nothing.
I'm just yelling at you. Would you like a lozenge? You need a lozenge.
Somebody help mommy. It's
stop,
fun.
Stop doing comedy. It makes you cough.
Oh, all right. It's the tweeting. It's taken it out of me. This tweeting is exhausting. It's only my first day. All right, StephanieMiller.com.
Stop getting slutty with Hal Sparks.
Yeah, these are the big breaking news on the two surprises today. POTUS wins the Nobel Peace Prize, and Stephanie Miller joins the Twitterverse.
Yes.
So that's kind of the big news.
Uh-huh.
This morning.
Just don't.
Somebody makes it. Wait, who said this? Oh, Dobie tweeted me. Obama gets
Dobie Gillis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Obama gets the Peace Prize while Bush got a flying shoe.
That's funny.
He got the flying shoe award.
Yes.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Hey, on the Fox News, the Fox and Freaks,
yes.
Jebby, former Florida Governor Jebby Bush. They joined to a gripe about the fact the country just will not forget what President Bush did to the country for 8 years. They said since it's already been a whopping, 9, 10 months now? Everything that's happening now, basically the fault of the Democrats, as you can imagine. Bush said, I was on the plane coming up to Washington yesterday, and I heard someone complaining their child's acne was because of George Bush. Oh, I think he lies.
You're a lying sack of crap.
Oh, you are a big fat liar, Jeb. Of course, last week the Olympics didn't come to Chicago. That was my brother's fault. And at some point, people are going to have to put on their big boy pants and assume responsibility for the great challenges and opportunities that our country has.
Yeah, maybe after 8 years, after 8 years of Obama, then.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, here's the fun facts, just all y'all, just for FYI. On every major measurement, the Census Bureau report shows that the country lost ground during Bush's two terms.
Uh-huh.
The median household income declined, poverty increased, childhood poverty increased even more, the number of Americans without health insurance spiked. By contrast, the country's condition improved on each of those measures during Bill Clinton's two terms, often substantially. Just FYI, GTK. Okay, we have, do we have Jebby?
We have W.
Oh, W, good.
Man, is this Obama guy a doofus or what? I mean, look what's going on. We got ourselves a deficit, two wars, household income is down, poverty's up, unemployment is up, people ain't got no health insurance, banks almost destroyed the global economy because of too much regulation. And what does Barry do? Bails them out. Typical big government, liberal, commie, socialized solution. What he should have done is privatize Social Security, because the cost drivers, that which is on the... table, fool me once, whatever. Anyway, the point is, I inherited a big mess from Bill Clinton, which I could have fixed if he hadn't let 9/11 happen on his watch. And thanks to Al Gore, we got global warming to worry about. See, if you just ignore stuff, it goes away, like New Orleans. But no, Gore had to talk about it all the time. Greenhouse gases, this, sustainable energy, that, blah, blah, blah. I bet he wishes his daddy's buddies in the Supreme Court hadn't bought in the presidency instead of letting people decide with their votes. Then we wouldn't have this Clinton-Obama-Gore revisionist history going on. Put on your big boy pants, America, and suck it up. See, So many frogs to blow up, so little time.
Oh, bye. I brought his bike. Good. And finally, oh, what better judge of the human physique than drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh?
What?
Rush Limbaugh has been named one of the national judges for the 2010 Miss America pageant.
Oh, God.
Which will be held at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas on Saturday, June 30th.
And wait a minute, it's no longer being held in Atlantic City?
Apparently not.
At Planet Hollywood? Oh, no.
And broadcast live on TLC. We have the drug-addled gas bag.
My friends, this is Rush Limbaugh with talent on loan from God and a permanent stiffy from off-market Viagra. Although I may not need the chemical enhancement when I become a judge for the Miss America pageant. In addition to being in a position to solicit sexual favors from the contestants, and that, by the way, is the only talent portion of the show I'll be interested in, I believe I will also be perfectly situated to select the first female president of the United States. For what better launch pad for presidential hopefuls could there be than the Miss America pageant, with its rigorous intellectual traditions, as exemplified by Miss South Carolina's treatise on geography? I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because, some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe our education, like such as South Africa and the Iraq and everywhere such as blah, blah, blah. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll get them to ya. Yes, my friends, I will do everything in my power to see that the first female president of the United States has a cup size bigger than her IQ, is entirely cankle-free, and knows how I like my coffee and my jobs.
Oh, dear.
And I will supervise from the Department of Law at the White House, where I will preside over the pro-America areas of America. You betcha, also too, Winky Winky.
That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Oh, Devron in Seattle with what we know is usually the case, and that is that Mama's right, the Mooks are wrong. Hi, Devron.
Hi, Mama. Mama.
Thank you. Yes.
I never thought I'd meet a like Stephanie Millar. Mom, yes, you're right. And Chris, man, I love you guys, but...
Get to the point about me being right. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just... Man, this how can he go wrong now? And if I had the Nobel Peace Prize, and then I'm thinking I'm president, can I war, peace? I got the prize here. It's just it encourages me to do good and to go forth and mash on with my plan and see that people are with me. I heard so many great comments today. When you listen to the good comments, you're either going to go down in history against or for Obama. I'm for Obama and I'm for my mama, Stephanie.
All right, all right. Thank you, Debbie in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie. I could have had a better supporter, but all right, Debbie in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller
Stephanie.
Show.
Hey, you guys are so amusing. I hate to be serious, but man, I'm really serious about this. I voted for this man for one reason and one reason only, and that was to cool the temperature down in the world. And he has already done that, and I am happy as hell. I'm so proud of him.
And technically, he has kept us safe longer than George Bush did, so there.
Absolutely.
Neener.
Love.
You know why?
Hmm.
Because Charles Krauthammer says that he did the right thing and hasn't repealed the Patriot Act yet.
Oh.
That's coming up in right-wing world.
Mm. Can't wait for some right-wing world.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's Fridays with Fugelsang, everybody. John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. The big breaking news, of course. Yeah, the president won the Nobel Prize, and we shot the moon. Whatever. The point is...
We almost blew up the moon.
I'm on Twitter! Woo-hoo! Echo Hotel 330 has tweeted me, Stephanie Miller on the Twitter, break out the box wine and spoon with your giant rescue dogs, everybody. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, just go to twitter.com/SM Show.
Yes.
Not S&M Show.
Tweet me, won't you?
Just SM Show.
That's her Facebook account.
I better have more followers than Chris by Monday. You people are fired.
You're fired.
Can I fire people from Twitter? Can that be?
Yes, you can block them.
All right.
I was so used to you doing anti-social networking, so it's a really surprise.
Hey, guess what, everybody? It's Fridays with Fuglesang.
Hooray!
Back in L.A., kids.
I know, and I'm going to New York Monday. You'll be here. And oh, by the way, Tim Robbins, actor extraordinaire, actor and activist extraordinaire, will be with us on the show on Monday.
Yes. Mm.
All right. So lots to get to. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there if you're old fashioned like that. You can come live blog with us, or you can tweet like Mama does. I was just dragged into the Twitterverse yesterday.
Get my tweets set.
All right. And it turns out I have a lot of people want more fart jokes already by tweet, Chris.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More puppy pictures, more fart jokes.
You already posted puppy pictures up yesterday.
I know. I'm trying to figure out how to post the picture of the Fred ate the chair in my living room, John. You know my really comfortable chairs because you've been there.
No, really?
No, we ate it entirely. It's it's in the back of my car as we speak. I got to go get it repaired. Fred is an 8-month-old Great Pyrenees I just rescued a few weeks ago. So, good for you, Fred. Goodbye! Get that chair! All right, so I got to get more pictures up of Fred and of my ruined chair.
Wow, if she does any more on Twitter, what's the person who runs her Facebook page going to say?
Yeah.
I was friends with you for a year before I knew it wasn't you.
We have, the thing is, we have more immature followers than anybody in the universe, like Jeff in Michigan. Steph, please play more Terry Jeffrey, perhaps dueling Terry Jeffrey and Dino from the Flintstones, because Terry Jeffrey is the teeny tiny voiced Republican pundit with a great big vision for America. This guy, you know who I mean. Okay, there you go, Jeff.
You can take his Scooby snack from his cold, dead hands.
That's right.
Hope you're happy. Oh, I got a letter from Tom Hartman yesterday.
This is
my ongoing feature, letters from other liberal talk show hosts.
Yes.
Because somebody, I don't know whether it was his blog or his Twitter or whatever, but they used the term Mensa meeting with fart jokes, and someone busted them and said, that's from the Stephanie Miller Show, Tom Hartman. And so he wrote me and apologized and said we did not realize that was, yes.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
We've been using that one for 5 years now.
Exactly. He apologized, and I wrote back to him, and I said, damn you, Tom Hartman, and your genius IQ, and I have only my fart jokes to keep me warm at night, and now you've taken even those from me. Damn you! I kid. And then I put a bunch of little kidding emoticons. All right.
And then he wrote back with some equation of some kind.
Yes,
exactly. And we all felt dumb and inspired.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I actually did for his benefit, I did a emoticon version of E equals MC squared. I had a little emoticon with the big glasses. That's supposed to be the nerdy smart person.
Yes.
Plus the clown equals the little love thing with the heart. The love smiley face.
I'm not sure that you're aware that a lot of people can't see your emoticons. Only people with, like...
What?
Yeah, with your email system can see them.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
I over
emoticon. That's all right. It's already a good week for nerds. We bombed the moon, you know?
Yes, we did.
Like, NASA has officially become welfare for science geeks at this point.
Exactly.
NASA couldn't find ice in 7-Eleven, you know?
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
That's the best Alan Keyes I've ever heard, by the way. I was driving over here. Jim Ward was doing his Alan Keyes voice. I loved it.
Yes, NASA says there could be an explanation for the absence of a water signal. John, they said we may have hit a dry hole rather than a wet hole.
That's what they said.
The guy from NASA said that, so it's not dirty.
It's kind of funny that on the day we bomb the moon, Obama gets a prize for mooning the bomb.
Hey!
Fuglesang saying, bringing the funny.
That was quick. That was topical and timely as today's headlines.
Oh. My goodness, John.
Don't thank me. Thank meth.
You are.
I'm awake early. This show is a lot more fun to do in New York when I can roll out of bed and go play chess all day and then come here at 11 a.m.
Yes.
I forgot your insane hours.
As you can imagine, the right wing's their head has imploded.
Yes, well,
the President winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, I know, but you can't judge the Fox News and the GOP for being upset about Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize. Because honestly, Steph, these guys were really rooting for Rio to win it this year. You know, they were so excited for Rio to take it home, and they're crestfallen. But.
Yeah, here's the thing. I was saying, I think as an American, literally can't take a moment to be proud that the President of the United States has won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, but he lost the Olympics. Don't forget that. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're going to use it against him, because if he now it's up to McChrystal. What's going to happen? Is he going to put 40,000 more troops in? Then the Republicans will try to bludgeon him with his own Peace Prize. So it's uncertain where it's going to go, and this Peace Prize may seem like it will be a curse at some points in the future. Well, they're going to use it against him.
I was saying earlier, John, that I don't know. Obviously, the decision is probably a couple weeks away on Afghanistan, but I'm just saying, even the Nobel Prize, I think that in a way it's applauding a new way of thinking, a new way of America thinking and approaching the rest of the world. And I think even Afghanistan, the early word is that's what he's doing. He's focusing on Al-Qaeda, not the Taliban. I mean, it's like, I think he talked about this during the campaign, right? He's doing a smart foreign policy, not just tough. Mm-hmm. At least he understands, like, Bush didn't even know the difference between Sunni and Shia. At least Obama is thinking through, the Taliban is different than Al-Qaeda. How do we combat this? How do we prevent them from regrouping to attack America? But, you know, and we obviously haven't won it militarily yet. Maybe that's not the strategy. I mean, I'm glad that he's thinking it through.
Yeah, I mean, we're still paying the price for Bush not knowing Shiite. But, you know, when you look at, they're going to bring up that Teddy Roosevelt won the Nobel Peace Prize. Don't forget, the last Republican president to win a Nobel Peace Prize is the same guy who quit the Republican Party and join the Progressive Party.
Yep.
And that's Teddy. He left that party not because of imperialism. He liked that. He wouldn't be in it today because of the environmentalism, but he was disgusted at how bought and paid for the Republican Party had become.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he became a progressive, the best Republican of the 20th century.
Lynette in Minneapolis wants to chime in on this. Hello, Lynette.
Hey, you know, I have so many points to get through. I'm going to sound like Dick Morris trying to get my points through.
The Nobel Prize is French and gay.
Let's start with the pinky toe.
They're going to start with the breath.
Well, you know, this reminds me of my mom used to have a mean dog, and she took him to obedience class. In the first class, he bit the teacher, and in the last class, he ended up winning the prize for coming the furthest. So
aww.
I think the Nobel Peace Prize is like, you know, this country has come the furthest in 8 months after 8 years of who we had. So that's how I look at the Nobel Peace Prize.
Absolutely. Neither of the guys in the studio could hear you because they were thinking dirty.
He won the not Bush Peace Prize.
For coming the furthest.
We've had that contest in the bathroom
before. What?
Okay, let's go to Rick in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got a comment here. That earlier when Bush was getting support for his war, he just declared a war on terrorism, some abstract concept, and then there was no one cared about how much it cost. And I can't
and that you can't win it militarily, I think, is the important thing. Al in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Long-time listener. Listen, I just couldn't stand it anymore. Some of these so-called Democrats calling, saying they voted for Obama, and then they turn around and use some reason of why not to support him, and this Nobel Prize being the latest.
It's taken us this long, Pat, and we worked this hard to get the White House, and already we've turned on the guy after 8 months. Over, you know, I mean, everybody has their issue. I get it, but you know, it's like, are you really trying to compare this to the Bush presidency? A complete disaster that was for this country and the world.
Well, that's why I'm an independent now and a former Democrat, because they just don't seem to get it. We need to support our president. We need to support.
All right. Thank you, honey.
I'm supporting the president.
Oh, you are not. You're
I'm totally supporting
you're
the president.
You're a complete tool.
But as a progressive, your goal is to an ideology above a political party.
Right.
You know? And so many conservatives lost it because they supported their guy more than their own ideals. You can't be a conservative when you're spending money like Amy Winehouse in Amsterdam, and that's what those guys did.
Exactly.
And we will be. We have to be holding the president's feet to the fire.
Yeah.
We have to do it. We have to be critical of him.
Right. There's a difference between that, though, and a lot of people just like, I'm done, and I'm done with him. And it's just, are you kidding me?
Did I say I was done with him?
I didn't say you.
Oh, no.
I just happened to be looking at you.
Yeah, exactly.
You happened to be the right-wing tool I was looking at.
But I'm not being right-wing tool-y. I'm trying to hold, like John says, hold the president's feet to the fire.
He's being more progressive than Obama in many things.
Nah.
Let's not forget, Obama, you know, ran as a moderate, and he's been governing as a moderate
so
far.
He's gotten so petty since I started beating him on Twitter followers.
Ha 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 ha!
All right. Let's, John, spoon me. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? You know, we watch so you don't have to. I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and I find the same thing. Like, he was saying that when he talks sometimes to other progressives, you can't really watch Fox News that long, can you? It's not for your acid reflux, your blood pressure.
Yeah, you really can. I mean, it's the rich people pay the Fox people to make the middle-class people blame the poor people.
Yeah.
But this is why this really is. My point is that I give and I give and I give. This is a public service so that you don't have to. I will digest it in little bit-sized bites for you. Oh,
yeah, the president's talking
about speaking.
His Nobel winner.
I am both surprised and deeply humbled by the decision of the Nobel Committee. Let me be clear. I do not
the moon
view
and
it
Sean
as
Hannity's
a recognition
head just blew up.
of my own accomplishments, but rather as an affirmation of American leadership on behalf of aspirations held by people in all nations. To be honest, I do not feel that I deserve to be in the company of so many of the transformative figures who've been honored by this prize, men and women who've inspired me and inspired the entire world through their courageous
Yikes.
Pursuit of peace.
Humility kind of new.
But I also know that this prize reflects the kind of world that those men and women and all Americans want to build, a world that gives life to the promise of our founding documents.
Wouldn't it be awesome if you gave the million-dollar prize to
history,
Acorn?
The Nobel Peace Prize has not just been used to honor specific achievement, it's also been used as a means to give momentum to a set of causes. And that is
I hope he gives it to Reverend Wright.
Yeah.
Or Bill Ayers.
As a call to action. A call for all nations to confront the common challenges of the 21st century. These challenges can't be met by any one leader or any one nation. And that's why my administration's worked to establish a new era of engagement in which all nations must take responsibility for the world we seek. We cannot tolerate a world in which nuclear weapons spread to more nations and in which the terror of a nuclear holocaust endangers more people. And that's why we've begun to take concrete steps to pursue a world without nuclear weapons, because all nations have the right to pursue peaceful nuclear power, but all nations have the responsibility to demonstrate their peaceful intentions. We cannot accept the growing threat posed by climate change, which could forever damage the world that we pass on to our children, sowing conflict and famine, destroying coastlines and emptying cities. And that's why all nations must now accept their share of responsibility for transforming the way that we use energy. We can't allow the differences between peoples to define the way that we see one another. And that's why we must pursue a new beginning among people of different faiths and races and religions, one based upon mutual interest and mutual respect. And we must all do our part to resolve those conflicts that have caused so much pain and hardship over so many years. And that effort must include an unwavering commitment to finally realize that the rights of all Israelis and Palestinians to live in peace and security in nations of their own.
Mm-hmm.
We can't accept a world in which more people are denied opportunity and dignity that all people yearn for. The ability to get an education and make a decent living. The security that you won't have to live in fear of disease or violence without hope for the future.
Well, that whole speech so far is entirely French and gay, and socialist, which would explain why he got the Nobel Peace Prize.
I just found out the 20 Republican senators who voted against the Franken Amendment won the Nobel Rape Prize.
Oh, hey, good.
Good for them.
Good for them. Here. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, back with more reaction on the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize and much more right-wing world as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Facts with Swag Whistle. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
John Fugel saying, right as usual, he said a month ago, CNN will lift the ban on talk radio host Mama on the Larry King Live this past Monday night.
Mm-hmm. You look fabulous. Fabulous, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you, John Fugelsang. It is Fridays with Fugelsang. We are knee-deep in it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. All right. Oh, and I think I'm going to be on the Ed Show today on MSNBC, unless I get bumped.
Oh, you are?
I think so.
Oh.
I was booked. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, then you need to tweet about that.
I do, but I need to be confirmed first.
Oh, I see.
Because then I'll have to tweet again to say I've been bumped.
I'm really excited. You're going to enjoy Twitter. It's 140 characters, but that's still less than on True Blood. And,
yay! With the social networking jokes.
Yes, just go to twitter.com/smshow for to
Kelly
Stephanie.
Wants to know if you can do requests by Twitter, and if so, she would like the Glenn Beck Get Off My Phone symphony. Oh, I guess so. What am I, an old-fashioned DJ? What do you mean with the requests, for God's sake? There you go, Kelly. Don't tweet Mama again.
Every time.
All right.
You know why most of the Republicans won't criticize Glenn Beck? They know their place.
That's all.
Exactly. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we, kids? We've just been having too much fun. Have you heard what they're doing to this Kevin Jennings, who is the school safety czar, who happens to be gay?
Oh, thank God they're getting rid of this guy. What a threat. What a threat.
How just is it smearing him with outright lies that he is a, you know, advocate of NAMBLA and all this nonsense. It's the worst homophobic, mm-hmm. you know, just lying bunch of smears I've heard in a long time.
It's very offensive. And a lot of us back in the 90s accidentally confused NAFTA with NAMBLA. So a lot of us made that mistake.
So
I went to
apologize.
Some meetings that I knew were wrong. Yeah.
But. All right, Sandy Reno's on the Hannity Show.
Kevin Jennings' actions, his words, the things that he's done are appalling and disgusting. We're talking about raping the innocence of our children. He's doing it purposely. The Queering of Elementary Education book, I don't know if you've looked at that, but it's all about having sex with adults, children and adults.
No, it's not.
It is not. Yeah. That is a lie.
He's talking about raping the innocence of our children? What? You are an idiot.
I hear that Sandy Rios keeps a concubine of 12-year-old boys.
Really?
Yes.
I hadn't heard that. Some say. You know, there's controversy over whether Sandy Rios keeps a concubine of 12-year-old boys in a dirt hole in her basement.
I get suspect whenever I hear a Republican talking about rape this week, because we've learned that now Polanski is bad unless he works for KBNR. Right? Like that.
Yes. If he worked for Halliburton, he'd be fine. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World on Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller
Word.
Show.
And as you and your friends get publicly intoxicated and dance in fountains with
Stephanie Miller,
each and every one of the values that we hold sacred, they are eroded by your behavior.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I have, you know what? I've been tweeting my ass off all morning and I've been neglecting my email account.
Well,
on StephanieMiller.com. You know what it is? I just rescued an 8-month-old Great Pyrenees, and I have a 3-year-old Great Pyrenees that I rescued 3 years ago. And it's like, you know, how you pay attention to one, and then the other one feels bad, and then you have to. So I've gone back to my email now, and now I've entirely missed this tweet.
What happened?
Someone tweeted me.
Oh, someone tweeted you. Adam K. Avon says, I sat you and your friend at the DNC last year. I spent 20 minutes trying to find you a beer, and Ellen Ratner got mad. Good times. Ellen Ratner was the head of...
the Radio Row.
Radio Row, yeah.
I do recall being fairly exercised about the lack of alcohol. in the boxes at the Democratic National Convention. I'm like, someone get me a beer!
And so he got one for you, and his boss got mad.
Sorry.
Good going.
Sorry.
It's the magic of Twitter. Now we get her on
just
Facebook.
Just reuniting people all over the place.
Get her on all that stuff. And even LinkedIn. Ooh.
Oh, LinkedIn. Ooh. I don't get LinkedIn. It's
me
like
neither.
LinkedIn's
too dry.
For people who find Plaxo too exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue our slog through a right-wing world. Oh, Bill O'Reilly, noted family values expert.
Say, baby, put down that pipe and get my pipe up.
On Levi Johnson posing nude.
On the pinhead front, this Levi Johnson guy never goes away. He impregnated Bristol Palin, as you know, and now he wants to be rewarded for that. The latest is Mr. Johnson will pose for Playgirl magazine. There's only one problem. There is no Playgirl magazine anymore. It's Playgirl Online or something like that. Now, we don't think Mr. Johnson cares. He just wants the exposure, pardon the pun. Mm. Pinhead, not even close. Of course he is.
Well, jealous, Bill?
As much as I hate to agree with Bill O'Reilly, it's kind of nice to see that Levi Johnston's not the toast of Huffington Post anymore.
All right.
They loved him 11 months ago. Boy, they loved him then.
Okay. O'Reilly and the Democrats.
Well, I believe many independent Americans see weak leadership coming from the president and from the Congress.
Oh.
Healthcare is a mess. Afghanistan unsettled.
Huh.
Unemployment about 10%, and climbing. And it seems the Democratic leadership has few solutions. Speaker Pelosi, for example, apparently opposes more troops to Afghanistan.
Right.
Mm, as do a lot of Americans.
Yeah, as do a lot of dead Soviets.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see the when Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid came out? They came out of the White House meeting on Afghanistan, and Harry Reid put his arm around her and announced that everyone would support whatever Afghanistan policy the president produces. And the TV cameras caught her eye roll and
you know what?
Her audible sort of gasp.
I don't think it was an eye roll. I think, that's a Fox News story, by the way. Well, Fox News ran with that all day long.
They can have it, because the human appendix does more than Harry Reid, as I've said before. But, Afghanistan's good at two things, growing opium and getting people to leave. And so far, that's it. I think the best solution for us is we already buy opium from New Zealand.
Yes.
And for our Limbaugh stuff, for our morphine, why don't we just start buying all of our opium from Afghanistan, put the Taliban out of business, be in business with them.
Mm-hmm.
We're only going to win by bribing. You can't out-thug these guys, so let's out-pimp them.
You're a problem solver, John Peterson.
Yeah, exactly. New Zealand will be mad. They won't let us film The Hobbit there. But other than that, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Get your opium from
Afghanistan. Oh, by the way, did you see the boner moment on Afghanistan? John Boehner, he said unnecessary delay could undermine our opportunity for success. Apparently, that should be at the top of our list.
Nice,
I think it should. There's a lot of things that should be at the top of his list. In fact, he's just, he can't, you know what, he keeps like penciling things out and writing in new things at the top of the list.
Yeah, I don't trust anyone who can write his name in his own spray tan on his arm.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. Mm-hmm. That's at the top of our list.
Then let's see them keep us safe from Phantom of the Opera 2. That's what I want to say. You know, they didn't contain Lloyd Webber, and now they're going to appease him and let it open on Broadway.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. All right, Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear on the reason we're still safe.
8 years afterwards, in retrospect, with liberals in the House and the Senate, it's remaining almost intact.
The Patriot Act.
We have not had a second attack in the 8 years, and we have not had any significant scandals of abuse of these powers invading the liberties of America. It's really quite
a
remarkable achievement.
Yeah.
So they want to say that everyone attacking our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq is a terrorist. But we've had no terrorist attacks.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yes.
All right.
That's correct.
The GOP keeps him around because he's the one guy who makes Schwarzenegger's dye job look good. You know this, right?
All right. That concludes Right Wing World for today. Let's go to Dorothy in Phoenix on the president protecting us. Hello, Dorothy.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
First of all, I want to acknowledge the wonderful gift of life that you've given to your Great Pyrenees.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, go rescue a doggy today.
I rescue white German shepherds, so
all
about that. So, I was wondering what you can...
My dogs are whiter than your dogs. Okay, go ahead.
They certainly are fluffier than my dogs.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I was just wondering what you would like to tell us about all of the terror attacks during Obama's administration that they have prevented compared to what's, been in the past.
Yeah, well, exactly. They just, and that's the thing. They taking the law enforcement approach. Look at the guy that, they just busted in Denver. It's the same way that Bill Clinton has the guys that created, did the terrorist attacks on his watch in jail. They're in jail.
No one's breaking out of Leavenworth, folks. We can put these guys from Guantanamo in the States.
Yeah. You know what? That's, by the way, another thing that annoys me about the Democrats. They did one good thing. They pushed ahead with a $42.8 billion Homeland Security budget that keeps alive the goal of closing Gitmo while preserving President Obama's discretion to bring detainees to the U.S. for short periods to stand trial. That's another reason, that we do hold Democrats' feet to the fire, because they get all, queasy when you got to stand firm on this, because we are not. This is another huge problem we got left by the Bush administration. But we've got to solve it somehow. We can't just you cannot just leave them there forever.
Historically, in every society, you know, progress takes a long time because the liberals are fighting each other so much. You know, they don't have an automatic consensus, and conservatives traditionally are walking in lockstep, and that's why it takes so long to get any kind of progress to go down.
The White House pointed out the Bush administration succeeded in prosecuting only 3 detainees in more than 7 years. Allowing transfers for trial is a positive development. Will allow us to bring many of the detainees at Gitmo to swift and certain judgment. I mean, even if you're law and order, how can you be against that?
In fairness to Bush, they killed thousands of people who could have been terrorists. So let's not forget that.
Representative Sam Farr of a Democrat of California said, "We are caving into the fear that our criminal justice system can't handle this on the continental United States. And even in cases of limited trial appearances, Representative Hal Rogers, Republican of Kentucky, is want to speak of the defendants being relocated to our backyard." You know, where we have a lot of dangerous people in prison.
Al Qaeda is going to come over and break them out of Sing Sing? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. All right. The latest on health care, 30 Senate Democrats urged the leadership to include a public option. As Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid starts to merge the finance and the health bills in the Senate, 30 Senate Democrats urged Reid to include a public option in the bill that will go to the floor. In building up the importance of the public option, they tore down the effectiveness of co-ops in this letter. Good for them. Nancy Pelosi.
What I've sent to the CBO will have a number of versions. One will be the robust public option.
Oh, it's so great to fall in love for the second time. You know, Nancy Pelosi, she's done it.
Yes.
She won me back.
You know, here's the one thing you need to keep track of. Shares of large health insurance companies slumped on Thursday after the CBO report. Mm-hmm. So you see, what's bad news for the insurance companies? That means good news for us.
Because we support the calling out lying douchebags in public option.
Exactly. Exactly. I love this. Senator Mitch McChinless called the CBO report. That's irrelevant now. The report that's proved everything the White House said, that's irrelevant. Now.
Numbers lie.
Yeah. Senator Mitch McConnell.
It doesn't tell the whole story.
Oh.
The fact is, the bill it's referring to will never see the light of day, and we all know that.
Oh.
That's because the real bill will soon be cobbled together in a secret conference room somewhere here in the Capitol by a handful of Democratic senators and White House officials.
Well, I hope he's not right.
In the secret socialist situation room. By the way, did you see who got on board with the Senate Finance Committee bill at least? Bob Dole. Bob Dole says Bob Dole is for the...
Bob Dole.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole likes the Senate Finance Committee bill.
Which is great. Bob Dole's a real Republican. If you're a real conservative, you want to do the things that are going to help America in the long run. If you call yourself a patriot, there's other things to make you patriotic than blowing up people overseas. You're willing to spend billions and billions to fight terrorism to save American lives. Why don't you spend some to save American lives in the hospital?
Yep.
You're the patriot, Steph Miller.
Thank you, John Fugel, saying, all right.
Wow. I'm waving my flag.
Thank you. Well, hello now. 42 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the economy, some celebrity stack, and much more as we wrap up Fridays with Fuel Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don't forget Monday's show. Another humdinger. Mama will be in New York. Rude Pundit will be with me. And also Tim Robbins, actor extraordinaire.
Yes.
We are knee-deep in Fridays with Fugelsang, with the comedian John Fugelsang.
Oh, thanks, Steph. Good to be back.
Are you going to be appearing anywhere?
I'm in L.A. right now doing a thing. I can't really say what it is yet, but it's for a national broadcasting corporation. So as soon as I'm allowed to talk about that, I will. But I'll let you know next week.
Cool.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. John, you know, you recently moved back to New York. Did Madonna buy you an apartment by any chance?
You know what? She didn't buy me an apartment. I was really upset, but she found out I wasn't Latino and under 20, so I didn't qualify.
She's buying her boyfriend, 23-year-old. Actually, he's 23 now.
Okay, well.
A 23-year-old model. Jesus. Exactly.
Yes, because you pronounce the J in Brazil.
She's buying him a $2.7 million apartment in New York, which will be close to her $40 million house that he was in walking distance.
Oh, well, it'll only be embarrassing when he bumps into A-Rod, I guess.
That's like chump change. That's in her couch.
Yeah,
all
listen,
right,
I'll do Kabbalah for a free apartment. Why not? Where's my red wristband?
By the way, Guy Ritchie, and not so politically incorrect, he said, Madonna, I still love her. Of course, she's retarded.
Oh. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Madonna.
All right.
I'm so over people over the age of 15 saying retarded. Can I just say that? I worked in special ed for years, and it's really insensitive. It's really unpolitically correct. If you say retarded, you're gay.
Thank you, John.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, look who's on the line. We have a famous comedian fest. It's Rick Overton. Hello, Rick Overton.
Emmy winner Rick
Yay.
Overton.
Hello.
He's calling from the moon.
Hello, Emmy Award-winning Rick Overton.
Hey, yeah, I'm Bluetoothing it, Angels, and just wanted to say hi. I've been very much enjoying the show. Good to have Johnny Boy West again.
I know.
I was just going to say about the whole thing, you know, if I were a huge insurance company, I wouldn't leave all those Democrats unpurchased. I would not leave my worst enemy out to get me without a couple I could call. what's the going rate for foot dragging, by the way? Because I'm at my age, I'm getting pretty good at it.
Exactly. What do you think about the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize today? The right wing's head has collectively imploded already.
Well, look, first of all, it has the word peace right in the middle of it. They're just trying to be conciliatory with all of our villains that we manufacture all around the world.
Yep. Ooh. Yep. I understand that I think Senator John Ensign and who else? Governor Sanford were up for the Nobel Peace of Ass Prize, but they just barely. They were upset because.
And he got it to go.
All right. Thank you, Rick. And you have something to plug, honey?
I was just Pam's dad on The Office last night, and I'm currently playing Matt Damon's boss in The Informant.
Holy crap. That's some big stuff.
He's terrific in
it. You're a big name, Rick Overton.
You're Pam's dad? That's awesome.
It's so awesome. It was a fun wedding episode, doubleheader, and it was really, really great.
Cool.
It was a blast.
Rick, I'm sorry, but my favorite role ever is still 6 Feet Under when you played the husband of the woman who raptured herself by jumping out her car window on the freeway. And you said it was just God's will.
She saw all those helium-inflated love dolls busting out the back of the panel van and thought, it's time.
I loved it. All right, Rick Overton, thank you, honey. Talk to you soon.
Love you.
All right, there he goes. Rick Overton, our buddy, our pal.
He's right, though. You know, saying that a public option is going to hurt private insurance is like saying community college hurts the Ivy League. You know, it's just yeah. If you're a capitalist, you're not afraid of competition.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hey, here's something for you, Broadway showman. John Fugel saying Hugh Hefner wants a musical of his life to be made. They're doing a miniseries, and they're talking about a Broadway musical.
Oh, the best little whorehouse in Westwood.
Wait, didn't they already do Cats? Hey, see where I went there? Because
yes,
Broadway show about
a double entendre
would be all about all be about the yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hey, speaking of shows, did you see Harry Connick Jr.? We have to give him the award today. He was not amused by an Australian skit in which the performers wore a blackface.
Yeah.
He the long-running Australian variety show Hey Hey It's Saturday. That one, you know,
that, of course.
A group of singers calling themselves the Jackson Jive. Get it? They performed in blackface. He was a guest judge. He gave them the Jive a zero, saying, "If this, if you've turned up like this in the United States, it'd be like the hey, there's no more show." The Jackson Jive members later said that they had flagged potential issues with the performance with producers before the show, who apparently did not think it was a potential issue that they were in blackface.
Yeah, Harry Connick Jr. redeemed himself for the film Copycat with this yesterday, and it was really great that he stood up on the air and did it. He didn't just sit there and wait to leave. He actually called him out on it on air, so God bless him.
Yeah.
God bless him.
By the way, the Jackson Jive said this was not meant to be racist in any way at all.
Oh, no.
Of course not. No, we're just making fun of how black people look. It's not racist.
To the audience's credit, they booed the act after it happened.
Good.
Yeah.
Speaking of being booed.
But that said, the act just got offered a series on Fox, so...
You know, I just got my panties unwadded, Chris, on the news last week that I thought Michael Vick had gotten a new deal with Nike, which turned out to be a bunch of from his agent.
Right.
That he doesn't actually have a new deal with Nike.
Uh-huh.
So I untwisted my panties, and now Michael Vick is getting a reality show. Slowly I turn. He's partnering with BET on the Michael Vick Project.
Mm.
I agree with PETA
must
on
hate
yes.
Dogs.
Michael Vick already had a project, didn't he? That's what ended him up in.
I think he should do a show with Octomom and have Octuplet Fight Club.
PETA said people who abuse animals shouldn't don't deserve to be rewarded. They shouldn't be given multi-million dollar contracts or given the privilege of being a role model. We don't believe Michael Vick understands the seriousness of his crime. I think he's sorry he got caught, but only time will tell if he's truly remorseful. That's what I was saying. That's good if he's talking to kids and he's saying he's turned his life around and all that. But to me, the message is stronger to kids that, hey, you can still get a multi-million dollar contract or a TV show.
Absolutely, but we'll see what the reality show is. If he makes the reality show about his rehabilitation as well, if every episode touches on his work he's doing for the ASPCA at some point, then he can really do a lot of good with it and he can really atone quite a bit. And I'm hoping that that's what it's going to be about. We will know what his character is based on the content of this show. Come on now. Let's be liberal.
All right. Can I have my deliverance music? Let me see. Award goes to Representative Braun, who is a Republican, you'll be surprised to know, of Georgia, you'll also be surprised to know. He continued to his campaign to inject over-the-top paranoid rhetoric into America's political discourse. I'm chairman of the Second Amendment Task Force, he said, for Second Amendment rights. Those gun rights are actually critical to prevent treason in America. He then said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is one of the domestic enemies of the Constitution.
What?
And that he swore to defend against.
Because we have all that money to take away all the guns. You know, that's like a high legislative priority. Mm. After bombing the moon, it's take away your guns.
He said, I was sworn into the Marine Corps. I was sworn to uphold the Constitution against every enemy, foreign and domestic. We've got a lot of domestic enemies to the Constitution, and one of them sits in the Speaker's chair of the United States Congress, Nancy Pelosi. He previously has compared Obama to Hitler.
Right. Hitler, that liberal.
Mm-hmm. He also has said Obama, Pelosi, and Harry Reid are part of a socialist elite that wants to declare martial law in America.
Mm. So he's Hitler and a liberal and wants to declare martial law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the public school system underfunded with history classes.
Here was some other disturbing breaking news. John, I don't know if you saw this. A new Oklahoma law. On November 1st, a law in Oklahoma will go into effect that will collect personal details about every single abortion performed in the state and post them on a public website.
Yep.
So this, A, costs taxpayer money, and B, although the questionnaire does not ask for name or address, yada, yada, the 8 questions they ask could easily be used to identify a woman in a small community.
Yeah, true. It doesn't say the name, but everything else about you, including birth date.
Yes. Planned Parenthood says they are just trying to frighten women out of having abortions.
Isn't that a gross violation of patient-doctor privilege?
One would think. There's an awful lot of personal questions on there.
For people that don't want too much government involvement in your personal life, my goodness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
What a shock.
Mm-hmm. Chris in Columbia, South Carolina, on the president winning the Nobel Prize. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Good.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks.
Listen, tell me, you know that all the nominations died in February 1st, so President Obama's in office 12 days, exactly 12 days. And what did he do in the 12 days to win it? I mean,
he wasn't George Bush. That's what he accomplished, and we applaud him for that.
I think it was the fact that he ran for president on the issues he ran on and got elected, and that alone was enough.
Yeah, and they were saying whether you love him or hate him, he's had an extraordinary impact around the world, and people are hoping and praying that the things he's talking about are going to happen. John Fugelsang. Thank you for Fridays with Fugelsang.
It's always great to be here, and I'm glad Limbaugh's hosting Miss America because I need 20 OxyContin just to watch that show.
That's it for us. Join me Monday from New York for The Rude Pundit and Tim Robbins on The Stephanie Miller Show.